Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's new book, The Essential Gospel. But first, here's the message, More Than Conquerors.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8. What shall we say to these things? Verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a chapter full of undeniable confessions that we live in victory, that we are super conquerors, that we are more than conquerors. And this passage of Scripture contains some of the most powerful and beautiful assurances in all of the Bible. We are held in His hand, in His omnipotent grip. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God. Jesus said it in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. We are eternally secure because of what Christ has done for us. So the Apostle Paul is reminding us of this truth. When you consider what God has done, while we were broken and lost in our sin and unable to save ourselves, God demonstrates his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. All these verses preceding chapter 8 and verse 32 here, when Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? It's just overwhelming, isn't it? To stop and think and contemplate what God has done. What shall we say to these things? It's a leading question. And Paul here is like an attorney. We said this earlier on as he's making his case for the gospel. And he is leading with a question here. What shall we say then about all these things? It's a question really with an exclamation point. It's a question that becomes an exclamation point. Sometimes when I'm texting, maybe you do the same thing, when I want to ask a question and make a point at the same time, I'll make the statement and I'll put some question marks, and then I'll put a bunch of exclamation points. And that's what the apostle is doing in this text. What shall we say then to these things? Question mark. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, because this is what God has done. Paul, in response to his own question, what shall we say then to all these things? He responds to his questions with five unanswerable questions, but I'm going to turn it around, and with these unanswerable questions that the apostle gives us that we read here in the scripture comes a promise from God. Promise number one, question number one, for the believer, there is no intimidation. That's why in verse 31, he writes, if God be for us, who can be against us? There is no intimidation. Now, we have adversaries. There are enemies that we face. There are haters all around us in the world. We may, within ourselves, accuse ourselves with a guilty conscience. Satan himself accuses us and seeks to defeat us. Satan is defeated, but he is not destroyed. He is not done on this earth. Satan is alive and well and living, though wounded, on planet earth, even to this day. For the Christian, Christ holds the keys of life and death, but to all who don't know Christ, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that Satan holds the power of death. He is a death dealer. He is an assassin. He is a killer. If God be for us, then who can be against us? There are adversaries. And if you don't know God, if you are resisting God, then God is resisting you. What a terrible thought it is to consider that God would accuse you, resist you, because you don't know him, that God would be against you. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What a terrible thing for a nation to have God resisting that nation. And if we're not troubled here in America, if we keep doing what we're doing and going where we are going, then ultimately the judgment will come and God will resist a nation. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But sin is a reproach to any people. And God may choose, if he's not already doing it, to resist America. A terrible thing for God to resist you. But God says, the scripture says, to those who are in Christ, those who are believers, those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is for you. If God be for you, the question is not who is against you. There are those against you. But the question is, if God is for you, then who can be against you? That is a big if. If God is for you, game over. You are more than a conqueror. I believe in a God who is all powerful and all knowing and always present. I believe in a God who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe in a God who is on the throne of the universe and who is on the throne of my heart. I believe in a God who can do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. I believe in a God who is greater than my mind can conceive. I believe in a God whose grace is amazing and whose mercy is abundant. I believe in a God, yes, I do, a God of might, a God of miracle, a God who can do anything but fail. I believe in a God whose name is Jesus, and at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. And listen to me. If that God is for you, then who can be against you? This is the first and last truth of my theology, everything I believe, that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is my go-to in every circumstance of life. This is my default setting, if you will. When things get misaligned, that God is for me. He is everything to me. Someone said, there are no odds he cannot overcome, and there is no enemy he cannot defeat. So what shall we say to these things? That there is no intimidation because God is for us. The question is not if you are a believer, is God for you? God is for you. That question was answered at the cross. When he died for you and proved to you that he is for you. The question, therefore, is not, is God on my side? The question becomes, am I on his side? Am I for Jesus?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, More Than Conquerors. Our world needs revival, and if that's going to happen, it has to take place in Christians first. That can only happen through the recovery and rediscovery of our passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we want to send you a copy of Pastor Graham's new book, The Essential Gospel, which goes to the very heart of the good news our world so desperately needs to hear. The Essential Gospel is our special thanks for your gift to PowerPoint. So request your copy when you call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word essential to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message. More than conquerors.
Secondly, for the believer, there is now no limitation. Look again at verse 32 of chapter 8. If God did not spare his only son, will he not freely give us all things? Question mark, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. He's answering this rhetorical question, if you will. God did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all. And if God did that for you, will he not freely and fully then give us all things? Jesus the Son, sent by the Father, cursed and condemned by our sin, took our place and space on the cross, our judgment. He drank the cup. Remember the garden? Gethsemane, when Christ prayed in agony, sweating drops of blood, he drank the cup of indescribable agony to the very last drop, to the dregs. In that cup was the toxic sin of the world. And Jesus' love drank it all. And now that cup is empty for me and for you, if you know Christ. So don't you know that if God has done this for you, will he not then freely give you all things? Paul's point is, if God did this, will he not keep you forever? You are his child. You belong to him. The word, will he not freely give us all things? That word freely is, in the language of the New Testament, charizomai, which is the root word for grace. You may hear the word charis, which is grace. Charizomai is there. And so charizomai here freely means that he just keeps pouring out the grace. He keeps giving and giving more and more grace. Grace so abundant. Blessing after blessing. He gives us all things, and this grace just keeps coming over and over and over again. He freely graces us. He freely and fully gives us all things. This is how we can know that God will never cancel us, that this salvation is not losable, because it's grace. From beginning to end. If you think for 1 minute that somehow works save you or works help to save you, then you have missed grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. This causes us to overflow in gratitude to God. Amen. Question number three, he asks, and promise that follows. For the believer, there is now, therefore, no accusation. Let's look at the scripture again. It says, verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So there is no accusation in that. He asked this question again, question mark, with a series of exclamation points. Who shall bring any charge to the elect, that is to the Christian? There is no accusation. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, verse 10 of chapter 12 of Romans. And his chief tactic as the accuser is to slander you, to shame you, to stigmatize you, to condemn you, to crush you. He looks for every opportunity to defeat you, to discourage you, to defame you, to dissuade you. So when accusations come, when you hear things like, you're a loser, or you're less than, you know that Christ died and rose again and is ascended and is interceding for you at the throne of God. Amen. He is your, you have an accuser, but he is your advocate. And your advocate says, no charge against God's elect. That one is my child, and he's praying for you. There is no accusation that can defeat the child of God. And then, not only that, not only is there no accusation, but there is now no condemnation. Look at verse 34. It says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us, which means that the prayer of Christ for you will see you through to the end and beyond. And that's when he says, therefore, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The word more than conqueror, you may have heard this before, but it's worth repeating. More than conqueror means we overwhelmingly conquer. It is to win over, to win gloriously, to defeat the enemy completely. So it's a word, we more are more than conquerors, which means we dominate. We are more than conquerors because this victory is in Jesus. One final thing. There are battles to fight, but you can't have victories without battles. And we're going to win those battles because nothing can defeat us and nothing can separate us. He asked the final fifth question. What can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? And then he writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No, in all these things we're more than conquerors. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. Here's the promise, no separation from the love of God. No fault, no foe, no failure can stop the love of God in your life. You know, a champion, a conqueror, should never be fearful because we always play to win. A champion plays to win. If a player goes on the field of competition and expects to lose, guess what? But we don't expect to lose because we know that we are more than conquerors, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We cannot lose. No wonder the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I win either way. I live, I win. I die, I win. Even more. His love holds us. Have you read the end of the story? Have you read the end of the book? When Christ makes all things new, when we are gathered in his presence and forever and ever, the cheers celebrating the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you read it? So know then that whatever you're going through in your life, death, disease, things above you, things below you, demon powers, distress, all these, whatever is coming against you, nothing is going to take you out of the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. So, confess your victory. Claim your victory in Christ. Stop walking around thinking I'm lost, I'm losing, I'm defeated. No. So to recap, there is, for the believer, no intimidation. If God is for us, who will be against us? There is no limitation. He has freely, fully given us all things in Jesus Christ. There is no accusation. Who shall lay anything to God's elect? No, Christ died. He rose again. He's interceding for us. There is no condemnation because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who shall condemn us then? Nobody. Not one condemnation. And who, therefore, for the believer, there is no separation, for who will separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? You are more than a conqueror.
You are listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, More Than Conquerors. With so much bad news in the world today, for many it's like the end of the age is just around the corner. So right now is the moment Christians must arise and show just how essential the gospel is to a lost and broken world. That's what prompted Pastor Graham to write a new book, The Essential Gospel, which goes to the very heart of the good news our world so desperately needs to hear. And we'd love to get a copy of this powerful new resource into your hands. The Essential Gospel is our thanks for your gift today to help boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel and the hope it brings to more people around the world. So call now to request your copy of The Essential Gospel when you give, call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word ESSENTIAL to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
That idea of hopeful and being hopeful is not merely wishful thinking or naive optimism, but it is confidence. Confidence in Christ, confidence in the Word of God. And Paul's closing in the great 8th chapter of Romans is a call to be courageous and confident that no matter what obstacles are thrown our way, Christ has already conquered them. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Paul knew firsthand what it felt like to be persecuted because of his faith in Christ, but he had steadfast confidence. For in verse 35, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" He goes on to say in verse 37 that in spite of all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Remember what God says is the key to winning. That's right. It is losing. We must die to this world so that we can live in the power of Christ. It takes courage and faith. It requires discipline and, yes, commitment. But you know, we already know the outcome. We already know that we are victorious over anything the enemy or the world throws at us. Let me remind you that God has given you the ultimate gift of hope and confidence through Jesus Christ. Surrender all your fears and failures to Him. Give all your doubts to Him. Start believing instead of doubting. Bring your life to the foot of the cross and there take up the cross in all of its power and glory and follow Christ. Leave your worries and your burdens and your failures and your fears and your doubts and your defeats there at the cross and watch Christ raise you up in the power of His resurrection. Live a courageous and confident life in the victory that He has already won for you. You are more than a conqueror.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's new book, The Essential Gospel, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word ESSENTIAL to 59789. And join Dr. Graham next time when he brings a message about the mighty way God can use you to change someone's life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.